the porch lights off because they're coming home with a trophy.
Hi there, welcome to Sharkcast, a podcast about all things Cronulla Sharks. My name is Sam Shinazzi. I'm here on behalf of our sponsors, Dyson Logistics, Endeavour Property Services, the Port Hacking Motor Yacht Club, LGB Supplements, and Shark Island Brewing. Did I tell you that this podcast is specifically about the Cronulla Sutherland Sharks, the greatest club in the history of the world? It's been a couple of sad old weeks for the club, a couple of sad old weeks for the cast, but as I speak to you right now on a Saturday night, I'm streaming the Parramatta v Dragons game. The Dragons are losing 34-4, and it makes everything almost okay. Strange old Saturday night, a little bit bored, plus I feel compelled to give you some content this week leading into the big clash against the Melbourne Storm. This podcast is available on iTunes, Stitcher, our friends at Wooshka, of course, and Podbean, as well as millions of other podcast applications. Whichever one you listen to, review us, subscribe for free, download for free, share it with your friends, tell everyone about Sharkcast. It's the number one source for Cronulla Sharks information that you want to have available to you. As you've probably seen all week, we're on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at SharkcastPod. Write to us, sharkcastpod@gmail.com. It's a streamlined episode tonight. I was hoping to bring some interviews with some players from training. It fell through from my end. The club were 100% open to me coming down and doing some interviews. Unfortunately, I couldn't make it happen, but maybe next week it will. We'll see how we go. After two straight losses, games they should have won, and six of the eight games in round 22 already taking place as I record this, the Sharks are sitting in seventh place, and they'll be in seventh place going into the game against Melbourne. Week by week, they've been drifting down. It's now reality. The Warriors, Penrith, Dragons, Melbourne, Roosters and Rabbitohs are all ahead of them. Only the Broncos are below them with a minus 33 differential going into the Melbourne game, but on the same amount of points as the Sharks. Top four is still the dream. It's getting harder week by week. Win against Melbourne. It gets easier because the last three games are winnable. If you finish in fifth or sixth, it's not the end of the world because you'll have a home semi-final in week one, sudden death as it may be. If you finish in seventh or eighth, it's a really, really hard task to continue throughout the final series, let alone win the competition. In fact, it's near impossible. Near impossible. So the game against Melbourne is vital for lots of reasons, but specifically, we want to stick around that fourth position or near enough as we can to keep the dream alive of a top four spot. It's getting harder though. As fans, we look ahead. The team, though, can only look one week ahead, and that is a big game against the Melbourne Storm, one of their more recent arch enemies, as you all know. Last week, round 21, we went down to the Manly Seagulls 33-32 in a golden point match. We just can't seem to beat this team. It's getting embarrassing. Portions of that game was embarrassing, including the defense in the middle, as well as some of the game management towards the end of the match and the discipline. The team started well enough. Valentine Holmes scored a really great try down the middle, which started on the left. His sheer speed got him across the line. It was 6-0 after 5 minutes, and we thought we were going to win by a million. We, the fans, and obviously the team as well. 3 minutes later, and Sean Lane crosses for a very soft try through Moylan and Wade Graham. And for the rest of the first half, the teams traded tries in a high-scoring affair. The refereeing came into play. Henry Perenara, former Shark, blew the pee out of his whistle. The Sharks were on the end of it in the first half. Aaron Woods was sin-binned after a few minutes of being on the field. The team was warned for repeated infringements. He had a high shot on someone. He was in the bin almost straight away. But then a nice solo effort to Jesse Ramian down the right edge got us back to within 2 points at half time, 20-18, Manly led. Within a minute of the second half, Tom Trbojevic regathered a bomb, outleapt Josh Dugan. I say outleapt, Dugan barely attempted to make the catch. They scored in the first minute of the second half, and it was not pretty from there on in. The Sharks did end up taking the lead back through Aaron Woods and Matt Moylan tries, but the old Sharks came back to haunt them. 75th minute, Joel Thompson crossed, and then in Golden Point, first set to Manly, up the field, down the left edge. Daly Cherry Evans on his left foot wins the match with a field goal 33-32. Let's backtrack a little bit. The selection of Josh Dugan on the wing was a bit of a head-scratcher, and it didn't play out positively for the team. He still looked underdone, which is a natural thing given how many weeks he'd been missing. I'm wondering if a New South Wales Cup stint might have done him some good. I know he's an elite athlete. I know he's on the big money, but he looked underdone. He was underdone. He was outleapt for that try against Trbojevic, and the last play which led to the field goal and golden point was down his side. He could not keep up with, I believe it was Tafua on the wing, and that led to a 50-metre line break, which set them up nicely for the field goal. What you do with Dugan, I'm not sure. Valentine Holmes seemingly has found his place at fullback. Still has an error in him, of course, but he's going okay at fullback. Fecky was injured throughout the week. He was named to play. Dugan was named an 18th man. He trained on the wing. He played on the wing. If he played fullback and Valentine played wing at all during the match, it was only for a few minutes. Valentine spent the most of the match at fullback with Dugan on the wing. Shane Flanagan's the sort of coach, he wants his best players on the field at once. I understand that. I relate to that. But you need to pick players who can play the position you've picked them in. I'm going to suggest Dugan's not a great winger. Having said all that, not one player is responsible for a team losing. My man, Valentine Holmes. We're 6 points ahead. He's kicking everything from everywhere. A relatively easy shot, penalty attempt. Scuffs it, misses wide of the post. Would have taken us to an 8-point lead with about 8 minutes to go. He missed it. We lost the match by 1 point. Again, I can't blame him for the loss, but boy, they would have gone a long way to winning in that moment. Now you go back to Chad Townsend against Brisbane. He was hooked from his goal-kicking job for hitting the post from in front, which was fair enough. He should have been hooked. But now Valentine's missing them from near in front. What's the solution? Who's the better kicker? Who's better under pressure? What does it say about the coach who's left us without a great goal kicker going into 2018? Can we blame these players for missing high pressure kicks when it's not a natural thing to them? I know it's easy to say that you and I could get those kicks from in front, but we don't know that. Today I watched Nathan Cleary miss a goal from in front to win the match. He's better than both those guys put together. He ended up winning the match through a field goal. What I'm saying is these things do happen, but they're also very costly. Very, very costly. In the first half, we played some good attacking football, which led to some nice tries. Wade Graham was having a strong game. Valentine was backing up well and making some breaks. The halves looked in control of the match. Chad was a lot more positive this week in his running and kicking. Moylan looked all right, but when it came to the crunch time, with 10 minutes to go, they really need to manage that game a lot better. 6-point lead, you should be going for that field goal. Final set of the game, we've got props doing hit-ups, and I'm not talking about Paulie G. Matty Pryor did one, and he veered to the right, and he was looking for the offload, and it was like they hadn't trained all week to do a routine field goal. Very disappointing stuff. The middle, defensively, I thought was so disappointing. Second half, from the first set until the first set of Golden Point and the final set of the match, the Manly forwards dominated us in the middle. They came out of their shell. They were making so many metres, and we couldn't stop them. That's where they won the match. So I think our forwards against Melbourne are going to have to lift, really, really lift, to match their forwards and not so much get the go forward happening in attack because, you know, Matt Pryor, 178 metres. Paul Gallen, 170 metres. Aaron Woods, 114 metres. They were doing their job with the ball, but just containing the middle. And I'm not sure if that's where Seguiaro playing too many minutes comes into it or not. I'm not blaming him for it, but out of the two, I think Brayley's a better defender. So this week I'll be looking for the Sharks to really, really strengthen that middle. Both Andrew Fifita and Luke Lewis had quiet games by their usual awesome standard. Fifita played 33 minutes and gave away 3 penalties amongst a few other bright spots in his game. And I'm not sure if Luke Lewis is still injured or not, but he wasn't doing too much in the field last week. And I'm sure there's bigger, better things coming for him in his final games for the Sharks. But playing 56 minutes, doing 5 runs for 47 metres, making 6 tackles and missing 3, giving away a penalty, is not the Luke Lewis we know. I just don't think he's 100% injury-free at the moment, unfortunately. So a lot of negatives there. The positives were we scored 32 points. We never scored 32 points. It was great to watch some attacking football, particularly in the first half. Another close match. You can't say they ever give up because they're always in the match right until the end. Against Manly, we've had a horrific year at our home ground. I really expected the team to lift and really dominate this match, and they didn't. I'm not sure how much of a mental thing it is. On last week's podcast, I spoke to Wade Graham. I spoke to Jason Bakuya. They were aware of the situation against Manly, the history, the bad luck, the bad blood. It just continued. It just continued. I know it's just a mental thing because in reality, we really should have won that match. But how do you turn that from a mental thing to a physical reality? How do you make the win happen? They have to beat Manly at some point. I would have thought this was the time. And why can't the team who need to win, and they're in front of such a big, loyal crowd, why can't they win the matches? What's happening there? I'd love to hear your thoughts. Sharkcastpod@gmail.com. Got some fantastic letters to get to shortly as well. Hey, Newman, I bought some Sharks memorabilia off a dude in Queensland. I need to get it here as soon as possible, but the seller doesn't do shipping. I need it in a hurry. What am I going to do, buddy?
Mate, get straight on the phone to Dyson Logistics.
What's the deal with those guys?
Dyson Logistics can move anything from a small package to a 40-foot container. Road, rail, sea freight, air freight, local, regional, international, and they will do it cheaper and quicker than those big corporate freight companies, and with better service too, because they have that personal family business touch.
Give me their number right now.
Hit them up on 0467-233-153. That's 0467-233-153. Or log onto the website, DysonLogistics.com.
A little birdie tells me they're also very big, passionate, long-time Cronulla Sharks fans as well. What a bonus. DysonLogistics.com. They go above and beyond. That's the Dyson difference.
The RMYC Port Hacking is a true hidden gem of the Sutherland Shire with million-dollar views for the price of a beer. A world-class venue located on the western side of Port Hacking, it has glorious views over the boat moorings up to Bundina.
Open to members and their guests, you can grab a drink in one of the two bars, sit on the deck or on the lawn with the kids while they run around and watch the boats come and go. Yachty's Bistro is open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner and serves fresh, modern Australian dishes, local seafood, steaks, my personal favourite, Newman, burgers that are high on flavour and low on price. There's a full TAB facility on Saturdays, and of course the Mighty Sharky games are on live and loud on all the big screens. Don't forget about Friday fishing, it's a hit with the kids.
And if you mention Sharkcast Radio, you get a free garlic bread. Get down to the RMYC Port Hacking, 228 Woolaware Road, Woolaware, or find them online, rmycph.com.au, or on Facebook as RMYC. The Royal Motor Yacht Club Port Hacking, home of Sharkcast Radio.
So Gallen, oh, scrum base play, Barber. Barber scores. Gallen went to the blind side out of the pack. Picked the ball up, gave it in to Barber.
Welcome back to Sharkcast, a streamlined podcast episode for you on the eve of the Melbourne Storm game. You just heard from our sponsors, Dyson Logistics and the Port Hacking Motor Yacht Club. Quick shout out, of course, to our friends at Endeavour Property Services, LGB Supplements and Shark Island Brewing. In breaking news today, it was confirmed that Ben Barber will be leaving St. Helens in the English Super League to come home to the NRL, home, in the 2019 season. Now, this has been widely rumoured for a year now, and he was always going to be favourites to come home to Cronulla, because although he left on negative terms, there was no real bad blood there. From the coach and the playing point of view, there was no bad blood. In the meantime, they've been trying to secure Valentine Holmes to a long-term deal, which you've heard about on our podcast. I've told you repeatedly that they're trying to get him to sign a 5-year deal for a lot of money. We know the Cowboys are circling Valentine Holmes, as well as a few other teams as well. But the Sharks want to keep him. They're confident of keeping him. They've offered him a deal. He's in the process of thinking that over. They're confident he's going to sign. Which leads us to some comments from Shane Flanagan at his press conference. Quote, "He's an important player, but at the moment Benny Barber is off the market for us. Originally, we were of the understanding that his club would not be letting him go. And I know one thing, money doesn't grow on trees out here at the Shire. He's a great player, he's part of the club's history, and if we could get him back, we'd get him back. But it's not going to be possible with the salary cap and the position we're in at the moment. We've decided that we want to invest in Valentine long term here at the club, and that's bubbling away behind the scenes, and hopefully that comes off and Val will be our number one." End quote. interesting from Shane Flanagan. Is he telling the complete truth there? You got to take the man on his word, I would imagine. Is it possible to have both superstars in the one team? How would that happen? You'd probably need some players to retire, and you'd need to move on some players and promote some youth within that team to afford such fantastic players in the one team. Also makes me think about the Josh Dugan situation. He's here for 3 more years after this year on very good money. 3 more years. He's played, 9 games this season? And he's been good in 8 of them. I'm not knocking his ability or his effort. But man, imagine Valentine Holmes and Ben Barber on the one team again. Remember 2016? That was a pretty good year, huh? You would then have the questions of who's going to play fullback. Can Ben Barber play in the halves? We tried that. It didn't really work. So as much as we would love to have them both in the team, would it cause more headaches? Obviously, a lot of you guys and girls would prefer the one player over the other, which I completely understand. I'd love to have them both. But that was the news that broke today. Ben Barber leaving St. Helens, looking to come back to the NRL, and Shane Flanagan saying, we can't afford him. Now, just because he said it doesn't mean that's necessarily going to be the case. But the offer to Valentine Holmes has been made. I personally hope that we get one of them. If we don't get them both, if we don't get either of them, not only will we look a bit silly, we're going to be missing out on a lot of star power. Quick shout out to our friend Clinton Maynard. Turn Your Porch Lights Off, the story of the 2016 Premiership. His book is still selling well. If you don't own this book, you need to go get it. You can buy it online. His email address is CronellaSharksBook@gmail.com. CronellaSharksBook@gmail.com. There's a Facebook page, or you can go to the best little bookshop in town in Cronulla. I believe a couple of shops in Miranda might have it as well. The Lees Club was selling it. I believe they still probably are. And a further shout out to our friend Clinton Maynard. He has a show on Macquarie Sports Radio in Sydney, and in Brisbane it's 882, and in Melbourne it's 1278. Sunday afternoon, 1:15 p.m., he'll be interviewing Barry Russell. So I'm sure Clinton, being a big Sharks man, he's going to have a great interview with our own Barry Russell.
LGB Supplements is the Shire's number one store for supplements and proteins. They have a wide range of supplements, including proteins, pre-workouts, and fat burners, on top of a massive range of exercise accessories, including boxing gear, activewear, gym gear, and water bottles.
Newman is free delivery Shire-wide and a price beat guarantee. Best prices anywhere. 10% price beat. The website is www.teamlgb.com.au. Just again, www.teamlgb.com.au. They're at Shop 6, 10 Waratah Road, Engadine. It's 20% off for Sharkcast listeners.
On top of that, they have friendly, accessible boot camps for all levels to shift those extra kilos. They have them in the Engadine area, and there's a boot camp at Woolooware coming soon. LGB, life's getting better.
Hey Newman, I'm selling my house, but the gardens are a mess. Can you help me out, buddy?
I wish I had time, Sam, but why don't you give Craig from Endeavour Property Services a call? A qualified horticulturalist, Craig specialises in pre- and post-sale garden cleanups and makeovers, as well as regular maintenance.
Sounds good, man. How do I get in touch with him?
Get in touch with Craig on 0424 294 321. That's 0424 294 321 or endeavourpropertyservices@yahoo.com. If you mention you listen to the Sharkcast, you get a 10% discount. Endeavour Property Services.
To Russell, and Russell has been able to go through. He's put the kick through. How fast is the little fellow? He's leading the race. He'll score, I think. Yes, that's a try. That's a try for certain. Yes, he's given the try. And so it was a clever piece of football by Russell. It was a perfect example of backs at the scrum. If you had watched them closely, they could have leant out and shook hands.
Okay, now it's time for the correspondence section of the show. Letters, emails, tweets, however you've got in touch with us, we appreciate it. We appreciate each and every word. Thank you so much. Pulled out a bunch of the best that I can use on the show tonight. Regular listener and correspondent Nathan Hunt has been in touch. Hey Nathan, how you going? Thank you very much for this passionate response to the Manly loss. He says, let's not beat about the bush, but today we were shit. Sorry to be blunt. We are not learning from our mistakes. poor discipline, soft defence, no game management and no killer instinct. I'm going to make a big call and say that if we get beat by Melbourne on Sunday, I'm ready to put a red felt pen through us. We are not learning from our mistakes and keep making new ones. There's so many things wrong with us that I don't know where to start. Sorry, but I'm filthy. I'm sorry, Nathan, I don't care for that sorry. I completely relate to those feelings. Most of our listeners would. The match against Manly was inexcusable, like most matches against Manly are. Thanks very much, Nathan. Much appreciated. Next up, we have Michael from Canberra. Michael is a real wordsmith, so bear with me here. So I'm watching TV with Charlie. Charlie's his little boy. Fireman Sam comes on. There's this kid on it. He's awful. Norman Price. This little creep starts a fire every episode and learns no lessons from it. The townspeople have not sent him away to live in an attic, so they too have not learned their lessons. Speaking of not learning their lessons, we are taking the piss, and we'll lose week one of the finals. Just on those points, Michael, Fireman Sam is a pretty cool show. Isn't it good when you've got a young child and you just get to discover all these shows? In the Night Garden, Thomas the Tank Engine, Fireman Sam, Guess How Much I Love You, all those great shows. I agree with a lot of that, so there's not too much to add. Michael also says, any good summer gigs coming up? I'm going to the Frenzel Room show on the boat, the Ship of Beers. If my mate Andy can get punted from this one, it will require him either to be dumped into the sea or another vessel will have to come to get him. I'm down with either. Your mate Andy sounds like a character. The Frenzel boat cruise will be awesome. Pretty wild stuff. I spoke with Jay from Frenzel for the first time in a few years. Good mate of mine. Just don't see each other very much, but I FaceTimed him briefly the other day. Frenzel are awesome. I'm so glad they're still playing big shows, still getting the credit they deserve. Any other good gigs coming up? Lucero have announced their first headline show. They've been here a couple of times in solo and support guises, but they're playing, I think in January, they're playing at the Factory, so that'll be a must-see gig. Before that, gosh, what's coming up? There's a great band called Halfway from Brisbane. They're playing next Friday in Enmore. That's about all I got off the top of my head at the moment, Michael. Thank you for your correspondence. Much love to Charlie. Troy from Maitland says, what the hell happened against Manly? Where did our defence go? Such soft tries and no line speed. Manly marched up the field every time they had the ball. We'll struggle to make the top four now. We just don't put teams away. He also gives me a bit of praise for my interviews with Wade Graham and Jason McCuya last week. Thank you very much for that, Troy. If you don't know what Troy's talking about, last week there was a podcast released mainly featuring interviews with Wade Graham and Jason McCuya. You can find them on all your podcast applications. Mark has written to us. I'm not sure if Mark's a first-time writer or not, but hello, Mark. He says, love the podcast. Keep up the great work. I was recently listening to an interview with Shane Flanagan, which was recorded in October last season. He reflected on 2017, saying, we achieved as a club and we were happy with the season. We just weren't happy with the finish. We just need to learn from that, and I think we will. End quote. This year is the same feel as last year for me, and I question whether we've learned anything from last year. What are your thoughts? Yeah, I agree with you, Mark. This year, as I've stated a few times on the podcast this season, it still feels like we're trying to find our feet, and there's only, three or four games to go in the season. And we're still making horrendous errors and missing tackles, and yes, that's improved as the year's gone on, but it's still not good enough. And now, all of a sudden, our defence is a bit of a worry. So they still can't decide on a back line. I think that injuries have crueled us at times. It hasn't been that many times we've had our best team on the field, but I just think the squad is so strong and the team is such good players that what they've dished up this year hasn't been good enough. They had the 6-game run? I can't remember. They had that run where they won a bunch of games in a row, and that was exciting. But overall, I think you're right. I think we need to learn some lessons. Greg from Mudgee's been in touch, and he says, with Valentine Holmes only 2 tries away from breaking his and David Peachy's club record, I had a look on Wikipedia, and by their record, he's also 2 tries away from cracking the top 5 all-time Sharks try scorers. Thought I'd check with the stats man Shanaz first. As bad as our recent games have been, I think we can sneak a win against the Storm tomorrow by 2 points. Let's go, you Sharkies. Greg, you're 100% correct, as is Wikipedia for once. Valentine and Gallen are on the same tries and equal 6th for Cronulla. They're one try away from equaling Roy Corcoran, who's in fifth place, and Valentine needs two tries to put him into the top five. Now, we had a bunch of tweets and social media correspondence, which I'm sure we'll get to, but I picked out this one from Andrew Hills. Andrew says, "I'm seriously gutted with that performance against Manly. Typically old Sharky effort. Critical game against an opponent we should be able to beat, and we just don't turn up. Our goal line defense was soft. There was no urgency in the play of the ball, and we lacked discipline." Andrew, you're spot on. Thank you for your correspondence. Thanks to everyone for their correspondence. Sharkcastpod@gmail.com. We're on the Twitter, the Facebook, the Instagram. Final section of today's shorter version of the podcast is a preview of the Melbourne game. Big, big clash. Round 22 against Melbourne, Sunday, August 12th at Amy Park. Kickoff is 4:10 p.m. It's on Fox Sports and Channel 9. I obviously encourage you to watch it on Fox Sports. The team that has been named is Valentine Holmes, Josh Dugan, Jesse Ramian, Ricky Latelli, and Sione Katoa. The halves are Matt Moylan and Chad Townsend. Props are Fifita and Pryor with Brayley hooking the scrum. Luke Lewis, Wade Graham, and Paul Gallen is your back row. Your immediate bench is Scott Sorensen, James Seguiaro, Aaron Woods, and Jason Bacuya. Joseph Paulo and Sasaya Fecky are on the extended bench. Big Arva and Kyle Flanagan were on the bench as well, but they have been removed from that. The two extra guys going to Melbourne will be Joseph Captain America Paulo and Sasaya Fecky. The good news, we've won four of the past six matches against Melbourne, including a very big match in 2016. The bad news, we've failed to score over 18 points against them in the past 20 matches. We have not scored over 18 points in the past 20 matches against them. You'll remember in round four we met earlier this season, highly controversial match at home. Matt Chechen refereeing, the penalty count totaled 30 penalties and saw both Cameron Smith and Luke Lewis sent to the sin bin for the first time in their respective careers. That's over 670 matches between them. They were both sin bin in this match. Edric Lee scored the only try. The Sharks won 14-4. Right on full time, lots of scuffles broke out. Dale Finucane and Will Chambers were suspended for a grapple tackle on Paul Gallen, and it was a real interesting end to a very, very interesting match. We need to lead this game early and lead from the front for us to get away with it. We've won 8 of 9 matches when leading at halftime, but only 4 of 11 when trailing or level at halftime. And Melbourne themselves don't like to give up too many leads or halftime break leads at that. We're looking to avoid 3 straight regular season losses for the first time since 2016. Now keep your defibs ready. 5 of the past 6 matches for us have been decided by 4 points or less. The past 2 have been decided by 2 points or less. If the Sharks are to win this match, it will be a close one. You know that. It will probably be low scoring as well if they are to win this one, which is what we dearly, dearly hope. For their season to stay on track, the Sharks need to hang with this Melbourne team. And if they can get the win or lose respectively, i.e. close, the last 3 games are winnable and we can move on from it. But if we get decimated by Melbourne, I do worry about the rest of the season. Having said that, the Sharks going down there to win. They're going to have to complete well and cut out those silly penalties. Melbourne themselves don't have a great completion rate and they do give away penalties. It's two similar teams. They are just having a much better season than what we are. But if we can play sensible football and play for 80 minutes, there's no reason why we can't win this match. I've got no idea who's going to win this match. I'm hoping it's Cronulla. If they do, it'll be by a few points. We need our forwards to really, really dominate this match. Get back to some of that old Sharky forward pack magic. Play good footy. Take your chances, absolutely. But play good, consistent football. Play like Melbourne. Play up the middle. Kick smart. Chase smart. Do all the boring stuff. And the win will be so much more realistic. If you don't, they have the strike power to do a number on you. Thank you very much for tuning into this episode of Sharkcast. Thank you so much to our sponsors, Dyson Logistics, Endeavour Property Services, the Port Hacking Motor Yacht Club, LGB Supplements, and Shark Island Brewing. We encourage you guys to support the sponsors that support us. Without them, it would be very hard to do what we do. In the words of my hero, Bruce Springsteen, stay hard, stay hungry, stay alive. See you later.
Tell your porch lights off because they're coming out with a trophy.